Bible this morning, we're in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 together. If you pray for Sean this morning, that you will have a good morning over to South Levant. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look into God's Word. And the Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that we would have ears to hear from you. I pray for good soil, that the Word of God would find root and grow, and people would be fruit bearers. I pray for that person that is distracted this morning and thinking of other things, that they would put those thoughts aside and think for just for 30 minutes of the things of you and what you have for them. I pray the Holy Spirit would not be stopped this morning, but you would have free will to do whatever you want in the lives of every person here. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Be with Sean this morning as he preaches over in South Levant. Bless him and bless that group. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My greatest concern is for the success of the gospel message. Not only with the message, but the effective demonstration of the change that takes place when one truly gives himself to a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." There should be a great change that takes place in our lives when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and when we give our heart and life over to Him. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But love of the Father is not in him." Now I know that verse like I know my wife, but maybe I don't know my wife as well as I think I do. 1 John 2:15 through 17. I had my daughter memorize this recently because I just love this passage so much, and it's a great warning to us, and so that I don't get it messed up. 1 John 2:15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof." And this is the key. "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Jesus was teaching the disciples in our text this morning in Matthew chapter 13. And he was explaining the effectiveness of the gospel. Now you'd think, who could be more effective than Jesus Christ in the effectiveness of the gospel? The fact is, no one could be. But even Jesus reported that there is basically four different results that take place when the gospel message goes forth. It's spring in Maine. We're surrounded by potato and corn fields here in Exeter. I think, and I may be wrong on this, I think there's more cows in Exeter than there are people. I don't think I'm wrong on that. Okay? So I'm thinking that's probably a good thing, less grief, more smell. But cows, we grew up around cows. I personally like cows. Smell doesn't bother me. Bothers my wife, but it doesn't bother me. But the fact is we are called to work in the field that God planted us in. And we are in Exeter, Maine. But in harvest time and in planting time, I'm reminded so much of what the gospel teaches about sowing and reaping. The sower goes out to sow. He broadcasts the seed. In this day, we're more accurate with what we do with the seed. We can plant it, put it right where we want it. But in that day, the seed went everywhere. And I'd like to say the message of the gospel goes everywhere. The Bible teaches in Psalm 19, 1-3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where that voice is not heard. There is no chance a person can live and die and have... Now, obviously, an infant can live and die, but someone that comes to an age of accountability, there's no chance they can go through life and not understand there's a God in heaven they're accountable to. The heavens themselves declare that message. Not only that, Romans 1:19 says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Everybody has seen it because the seed, the gospel, is broadcast everywhere. Even in nature itself is screaming of God. There's not a lack of evidence in God. It's the suppression of the evidence that we have. And we could get sidetracked on that this morning, but we won't. So God uses you and I to affect the message that people need to hear. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are preachers of the gospel. It's our duty. And my word, I can't imagine that you wouldn't talk about the change that Jesus Christ has made in us. It's absolutely wonderful. So Jesus tells the parable of the sower. In it, we have the elements. The sower is Jesus Christ. The seed is God's word. And the soil is the people hearing the message. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus is doing some sowing with God's word. And I don't normally leave the platform, and I don't want the camera to follow me. And if you're watching this on tape, you're wondering, what in the world, where'd the pastor go? And I'm out, just so, if you're just listening, I'm out sowing. And you do, this is God's word, and we're sowing it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was just sowing it. And anytime you and I quote the word of God, we're sowing God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. See, we're just sowing the word of God. And that's what Jesus was referring to. And as it goes out, and we're sowing that seed, and it's flying everywhere, Jesus talked about the type of ground that it would land on. And that was the four types of soil. And I gave you four P's this morning that maybe will help you remember it, maybe it won't. But it's he talks about the pathway, which is the wayside. There's the pathetic, which is the shallow ground. There's the problematic ground, which is worldly, offensive, peer pressure. The old crowd bothers that ground. And lastly, there is the prosperous ground, or that great return on investment. Let's look at the pathway or the wayside, and it's explained in your text in Matthew 13. The beauty of it, this is Jesus goes on with his disciples and explains what he was talking about. And if you look at verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 13, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, it's like it lands on the walkway and it's hard and the seed is there and it's laying there. But it can't sink in because the pathway is too hard. And then birds or or evil people can come away and snatch it away. And so what the picture of is obviously is the hard ground and Satan. And it's compared to the idea that they don't get it. I've referred to this before. I had a teacher, Mrs. Curry, sixth grade. I believe that she's still alive. Someone saw her the other day and mentioned it to me. I was just so thrilled that she was around. I'd love to see her again. I understand she lives in Carmel. Mrs. Curry, if you're listening to this, I've not forgotten you. So, she'll know why I haven't forgotten her in just a minute. But so, she would explain the directions. I'd raise my hand. She was waiting. I'd raise my hand. She said, "Yes, Stanley, I don't get it." Those were my exact words. "I don't get it." Sixth grade, I've been 11 years old. She'd look at me and she'd say, "Stanley, if you listened to me tell the directions the first time, you would get it." But there was something I couldn't explain to her that I honestly didn't get it. And then she'd go through a little bit and then it would just click. I'm not making this up. And then I'd say, "Okay, I get it." And I'd stop her, which wasn't very polite. But I really did it. All of a sudden, it would click. Well, what happens? It's like, I don't know if you watch TV with your wife, guys, or ladies with your husbands, and you're sitting there on the couch, and a lot of times, it's usually, we watch a lot I'll admit it, Chuck. I don't know if you've ever seen Chuck or not. It's an old, pathetic show. Don't waste your time, but I waste mine watching Chuck with my wife in the evenings. And so we'll sit down and we'll watch that. And there's got some things going on. And every now and then, if someone breaks out into a foreign language, you know, that's my foreign language. And then I look over to Emily and say, "What did he say?" We laugh because you don't know and you move on. You've forgotten it already. It doesn't matter. It's not important to the show. I don't care what he said. It's sad to say sometimes when people hear the word of God, you and I, as Christians, we've been, chances are, if you're in this church, I've mentioned Donnie Spears. Donnie and I were going to church back in the 80s. We've been in church for a long time. We know, and not picking on him, any one of us that have grown up in church, Micah grew up, his dad's a pastor, we know Christianese. We know the terminology. We speak a language they don't understand. And a lot of times, as we're talking about things, thinking everybody knows this, fact is, we could might as well be speaking Greek. French, any language that you don't understand, because sometimes as we're talking about the gospel and sin and blood and sanctification and atonement and all those things, people are whoo right over. And you know what? In a busy society today, in a busy world, they don't have time for that. Whatever he's talking about is no concern of mine. And if it does spur any interest at all, Satan comes along and he throws something else into their path so that they're... Have you ever noticed, is society busy at all? They got anything else going on? And I'll tell you what, if you want somebody to understand the gospel, you better be looking them in the eye, talking to them straight, and hoping they're understanding what you're saying, because chances are, as soon as you're gone, they probably won't linger on that. They're probably moved on to something else in their life. That's the seed that landed on the pathway. Busy, didn't really get it, didn't really understand it. Satan comes along, catches the seed, it's gone, and they've moved on. No result whatsoever. That's the pathetic soil, the soil that's on the wayside. That's the pathway soil. Then there is the pathetic soil. The pathetic soil is the shallow ground. This pathetic soil is the soil that's around my house. This is the soil that my father owned, that he still owns. That is ledgy. There's no deepness of the earth. There's no depth there. We live on the biggest pile of ledge. If ledge was worth something, holy, we'd be loaded. But ledge isn't worth anything, and you can't grow much on it. Years ago, we ran businesses on Hammond Street, and there was a house down the road that they put a new foundation under, and they picked up the house, and they put the foundation under it, and the contractor came in, and he seeded the ground, and instantly, I'm talking overnight, there was beautiful green grass there. They had the envy of the entire neighborhood. Their lawn looked perfect. And I thought, wow, how did they get that grass to grow so fast, so green, so lush, so perfect? And everybody, wow, that was so impressive. A month later, it was all dead. Brown, and nothing grew there for the rest of the summer. I never forgot that. What's that got to do with the message? Everything. But he that received the seed in the stony places is the same that heareth the word, and with anon and with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. Endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh yeah, I believe that. That was, yeah. We've been here for 27 years. We've seen a few things in 27 years. I've had folks come in, just you share the gospel. That is amazing. I love it. I love this church. This is the greatest place I've ever been in. And I'm thinking, you're my new favorite person. That's exactly right. And they're just so excited about the things of the church, and they're back the next week, and they're back the next week, and then they miss one, and they miss two, and they're gone. What happened? Well, they were so excited. But, I got used to that. Not a big deal. There was no depthness of the earth, no roots taking place. It didn't catch on. It was great for a second. It's like whoopie pies. One's good, two's better. Let's have a third. How about four? Ugh. I don't like whoopie pies. Why is that? Well, I tried those once. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but sad to say, sometimes, how many people have you invited to church? I tried that once. What happened? It didn't take hold. It was shallow. They never really got to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wasn't truly present in their life, and they did not have that relationship with him. That was the shallow ground, the pathetic ground. It's the crowd that I wrote, please me, squeeze me, appease me, humor me. If you will, it's the megachurch crowd. It's the thousands attending church on Sunday morning because they like the band, they like the music, they like the attention. Honestly, they like the smoke and mirrors that churches are setting up now. They like the show. It's the entertainment crowd. I'll tell you what, we are not here to entertain. We are here to change lives with the message of Jesus Christ. We are here to keep souls from going to hell. There's a huge difference in that in entertainment. Anybody can go see Billy Ray Cyrus or whoever's out there. Go ahead. But there's no eternity in that. The eternity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone wrote, I'd like to have $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. That is that pathetic, shallow ground. So there is the pathetic ground. There is the pathway. There's the problematic or the thorny ground. You don't hear it said so much anymore, but it used to be in the old days when something was wrong, you'd said, boy, that's kind of a thorny issue. And that's kind of prickly. Be careful where you grab that one. You're going to get hurt. And obviously, that's not necessarily always the case, but it can be. And so what will happen is that there is the excitement of the gospel when it goes out. The seed is sown. And it takes hold. And you start talking about your faith. I'm a believer. I know Christ. Matthew 13, 22 says, and he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What happens? Well, life happens. This is thorny. There are Christians with the most talent and ability, but there is always something that keeps them from developing their full potential. Kids in sports, work, pursuit of secular goals versus God's calling. 1 Timothy 6, 9-10 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now look, we're not death on money here, but the love of money will ruin your life. And if you're constantly chasing that, Proverbs 23:5 says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven." You open up your wallet, it's like the money's gone. It flies away. Where'd it go? Holes in our pockets. Pursuit of riches. Money can be a thorn. The message can be a thorn. Jesus said, "I'm going to be an offense. I'm a rock of offense." And this is another thorny issue. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So ever hear someone say, they said that was hurtful, that was cutting? The word of God can cut people. No, you're not going to bleed. But sometimes it's not popular what the Bible teaches. I've noticed that the world doesn't really appreciate good, sound Bible teaching. We're warned about that in 1 John 2:15 through 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 2-3 says, "I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" God's word says difficult things at times. The further we stray from the things of God, the more offensive God's word becomes. Don't miss that. The world doesn't want to hear it, and the world creeps into our churches. And so what does the church do? Rather than continue on, now this is where it gets thorny. This is what people don't want to hear. When we start talking separation from the world in our churches, I'm telling you, it's crickets. Nobody wants to hear that stuff. "Oh, preacher, now you've gone from preaching into meddling now." Well, I want you to know the word of God meddles in your life. This book's going to change you. And I've noticed as a man, and I won't ask for hands, guys, but how many men in this room love change? Oh, yeah, bring it on. I love change. My wife moves the couch or something. That's divorce area. You don't do that. You can't change that. I don't like change at all. I'm not looking for that. I found change to be painful. What greater change is there than the message of Jesus Christ to a worldly individual? That's going to crumple the feathers a little bit. I think it was Billy Sunday was told, "Billy, you rub the..." How does that go? "You rub the fur on the cat the wrong way." Billy says, "Turn the cat around." The Bible has always been, the word of God, the message of the Lord has always been a thorny issue, a troubling issue. So rather than preach God's word to God's people, we tailor our message to try to not offend the world. Growing a Christian is like growing a child. I've got a boy up in the balcony, not paying attention, sitting next to his sister, who is. Thank you, Kate. Nice to see you. Okay. So my son is exactly like me, and I feel so bad for him, but he's like me in that When I was his age, I cried at everything. I could just cry at the drop of a hat. And I hate crying. I cry over everything. And sometimes a loving mother would come along, "Oh, Stanley, are you okay?" And then other times a loving mother would come along and say, "What's your problem? Get over it." A father would say, "Rub some dirt in it. Come on, son. You're not going to grow men by hugging and helping their boo-boos. That doesn't work." And that's what we're doing nowadays. I don't have time to get into this rant, but I am so disgusted in the boys that were so supposedly growing into men nowadays. But the fact is this, is that to become a man, to become a man of God, there's going to be some tough times that God will take you and thrash you and trouble you and get you to grow up. And sad to say, a lot of our churches, and the Apostle Paul talked about it, he says, all I can do is give you milk because you're just a bunch of babies. I'd love to give you a steak, but you choke on it. I'd like to think that's not a problem with the Cornerstone Baptist Church, but the reality of it is there are people in every church that only wants to have so much, so little, and that is not going to work. God wants you to be fruitful in his business. And to make a man out of you, men, there's going to be some calluses on your hands. There's going to be some blood at times. There's going to be some trouble. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Amen? Holy. But it's true. Thorny. Pathway. Pathetic. Problematic. So what happens when someone's feelings get hurt? What happens when we're trying to make a man out of a boy? Well, the fact is this. Sometimes that boy leaves home. Sometimes they run away. Sometimes, like the prodigal son, they'll look at Dad and say, "Dad, I can't stand this place any longer. I'm out of here." Sad to say, in our churches, sometimes they say, "You know what, Stan? I don't like your style of preaching. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're saying. I'm leaving." I went to college my first year in 1981. I went to a church called First Baptist of Hammond, Indiana. One of the first mega churches there was. They ran 8,000 on Sunday morning. Regularly on a Sunday morning, there was 100 people that would go forward for salvation. That was Sunday morning. That was how it was, church. And that guy talked and preached like you wouldn't believe as far as the things that he would say. And he would say, "You don't like my preaching. There's a highway out there that goes both ways. And you can get on it. No come back." I'm thinking, "You're out of your mind, you know? If you don't like my preaching, I'm sorry. Be sure and tithe." How's that? Yeah. But what happens is people do, they get mad and they leave. And honestly, there is no pastor. I've heard guys who are, "We had a backdoor revival, praise God." He was talking about all those that left in his church, and it didn't bother him. He's a liar. Sorry, he's a liar. It bothers every pastor to lose people. If you're a pastor that cares about people, no one's leaving that doesn't bother you. It breaks his heart. But sometimes they'll leave. Hopefully they go to another church, hopefully that preaches the gospel. A lot of times that does not happen. But I got a question for you. If you're going to leave, I'm sorry. We love you. This is a group that cares about you. On occasion, we serve whoopie pies. I mean, who else has got that? Who's got this? A home in heaven, eternal life, sins forgiven. Where are you going to go? Now, I recognize the Cornerstone Baptist Church isn't the only gospel-preaching church. But I'll tell you what. If you want to leave Cornerstone, that's fine, but don't you leave Jesus Christ. And to follow Jesus Christ requires you to meet regularly with fellow believers and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So don't you tell me that you're going to go home because you're offended by what I say, but you're still going to follow Jesus Christ. I do not believe you. I'm sorry, but not really. Those are the thorny issues that Jesus talked about. We've talked about three types of soil, and now we're out of time. But the last type of soil, we'll pick up on it next week, is the fruitful soil, the soil that bears 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold, fruit-bearing people, that their life matters, that their life counts, that God looks down from heaven and he sees your life and he says, that's my boy, that's my girl. I don't know about you, Lord. I don't know about, I want to be one of those people that Jesus Christ looks down on and he says, there's someone. That's Stan Griffin, he ain't much. And trust me, ask my wife, I ain't much. But I'll tell you what, I love living for and serving and bragging about Jesus Christ. And I cannot recommend enough. All those other soils out there, don't be a part of that crowd. Be a part of that crowd that amounts to something for Jesus Christ. And as we broadcast the seed, you are the soil. You are where the gospel is going. And for that to work, you've got to be willing to let God get a hold of you and take root in you and sell out to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, there's so much more that could have been said, and I hope what I've said has made sense. I hope that I've not been talking in a foreign language this morning that the hearer didn't understand, and so Satan can come along and snatch it away, and they can just go home and watch TV and not be bothered. I hope we don't have folks that are just so shallow that they're just want to be coddled, befriended, patted on the back, told them they're a good guy, a good girl. But Lord, we need to realize that we are sinners, bound for hell. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would have no hope. But because of God's grace, you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place. You took our place. Now my sins are forgiven because I've trusted you as my personal Savior. Lord, if there are those that are offended here this morning, I pray that you'd give them tough skin and soft hearts for the things of you. I pray for us as Christians that we would broadcast the seed everywhere we can, and that it would find soil that you would grow in. Lord, if there are those here that have never prayed to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then they're in great trouble this morning, and they need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sin. And then, Lord, for us as Christians that know you, I pray that we're living for you and that you're pleased with us. We'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. If there are loved ones we need to pray for, if there are sickness that we're fighting, if we want to join the church, or however, whatever you've talked to us about this morning, I pray that during this invitation time, we do business with you. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.